God has covered you and I with is a symbolism, the symbol of what God has called us into. Okay, so we are going to be looking at the priestly garment today, the priestly garment. And our memory verse is taken from the book of Exodus chapter 39 verse 43. Exodus chapter 39 verse 43. It is written there on the pamphlet or the bulletin so we can read. So can you take with me Exodus 39 verse 43? Let's go. Exodus 39 verse 43. And Moses did look upon all the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded. Even so had they done it, and Moses blessed them. Can we go again? Exodus 39 verse 43. And Moses did look upon all the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded. Even so had they done it, and Moses blessed them. Again, Exodus 39 verse 43. And Moses did look upon all the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded. And even so had they done it, and Moses blessed them. Praise the Lord. We've taken this particular verse before, during one of these teachings, looking at divine commission. The priestly garment can be looked at in terms of divine commission as well. It's one of those things that God actually directed Moses to do. In other words, he asked them to prepare the people who are going to minister before him, the people who are going to be priests before him. It was not just in the times of Moses. Also, after Christ came, you remember that Paul wrote to Timothy, not just Timothy, he also wrote to Titus. And he gave the characteristics of who should be appointed a deacon, a bishop, you know, somebody who is going to minister. He gave the characteristics, gave the qualifications to them. It is similar to what we are talking about today. In other words, those people have to be clothed with certain things that will make them qualify, not really qualify them, that will make them appointable to that office. So that is what we are looking at this morning, the priestly garment. And the most, and where we just read said, the people did it like God commanded Moses to do it. In other words, God spoke to Moses. Moses spoke to the people. And the people did it like Moses asked them to do it. I've gone through this before and I don't want to go through. Can you imagine if the people do not submit to Moses? After he had told them what God said, and they chose not to do it the way Moses did it because they felt he wasn't smart enough. You can imagine the difficulties Moses had. Moses was a stutterer. He was a stammerer. So he would have difficulties passing instruction across. What if the people had focused on the disabilities of Moses rather than the instructions? They will have missed the whole thing. They will have missed their blessings. Because if he was going to tell them to say, apology to those of us who stutter here. I do not mean to ridicule us. So, suppose he meant to tell them that the robe of the priest was to be made of purple. And God said, and he would stutter like that. It would take time before he could communicate what God said to them. They were able to distinguish between the substance and the things that were not important. So they knew the things that were important. They followed the instruction. And the Bible said they completed it just like God had instructed. And then Moses was able to do what? Was able to bless them. And I've told us before that the reason why some of us will not get blessed is not because the pastor won't bless us. The pastor will actually bless us. Okay? But we have not done it the way God asked us to do it. First of all, the pastor has responsibility to pass the instruction like God said. So, once he passes the instruction like God has asked him to pass the instruction, and we choose to do it the way God asks us to do it, when he says, God bless you, indeed God will bless you, because it's been done the way God has asked that it be done. But if he passes the instruction across correctly, and we choose that we are wiser than God, and we choose to do it our own way, he may not even know. He may just be satisfied with the fact that you actually agree in a place where many people, if they are given things to do for God, they give excuses, and he manages to get one person who agrees to do it. Even if he doesn't do it well, people will say, you are demanding too much. You know, you should be satisfied. What about the 100 people who refused to do it? Now you got somebody who agreed to do it. And he agrees to do it. And you are so happy and you say, God bless you. He may not necessarily be blessed. Because he has not done it. Because it is what? It is partial obedience. God wants complete what? Complete obedience. He wants complete obedience. So, as a man of God, as a servant of God, when God gives us instruction, we have to make sure. We can see that there are two things at stake here. What is at stake is that our blessings and the blessings of the other person. So we have to make sure that we pass the right instruction. And when you give the right instruction, that is, you speak God's word the way it is to people. And then when they take it and run with it, then you get blessed. They get blessed. But if you have not transmitted the word, if you have not communicated the word, if you have not passed on the word the way it is to them, because we feel shy, because we think that, they might think we are weird, because we think we want to be nice to them, because we want to cut their favor, we don't want to sound harsh. There are some words that sound harsh in the Bible, unfortunately. Or fortunately, as God will have it. But we still have to say it. So because we don't want to stand that way, in other words, sometimes what happens is that we tend to represent God. We tend to put ourselves in place of God to apologize to people for what he has said. I was reading an article over this weekend. Somebody was was talking about a particular preacher, a well-known preacher in the U.S. He was comparing him to another preacher, another well-known preacher who is very old now. He was actually talking about Billy Graham. When Billy Graham was asked on the TV, he said, they asked him, "Are you saying that Christianity is the only way to God?" He answered them. He said, "The Bible said it, and I believe it." Praise the Lord. The Bible said it, and what? And I believe it. Someone very recently, one of the very popular evangelists was asked, "Are you saying that Christianity is the only way to God?" He could not answer on the TV. I didn't watch it. I was just reading an article, you know, where it was mentioned. In fact, it was just yesterday I was reading it. Very popular. I don't want to mention him because, you know, the one who did well, I'm able to mention his name because I'm not bringing him down. Okay? So, this other person will not answer. So, but if we say it the way the Bible says it, and I told my wife yesterday, and I said, it's simply because the guy doesn't believe. It means he himself does not believe. Because if he believes, he will be able to say it. But he's afraid so that people will don't say he's so narrow-minded, he's so close-minded. He cannot think literally. How can? Because the world thinks there cannot be one way to God. Then we too must believe that there cannot be one way to God. In order to fit in, God will deliver us. I say God will deliver us. I hope I've not strayed from the priestly garment. We'll still meet. No, it's very important because God gave instruction. It's one of those commissions that he gave Moses, that those who will be priests, they had to wear certain garments. And God told them how to make the garments. And let's quickly go to Exodus 39. We are supposed to read from verse 1 to 43. Obviously, it is very long. So, we are not going to be able to read all of it. So, we are going to skip read. Exodus 39. It's 1 to 43. We are not going to read everything. Let me just read the first few verses. Maybe 1 to 7. And then I will read the end. He said, and of the blue and purple and scarlet, they made clothes of service to do service in the holy place, and made the holy garments for Aaron as the Lord commanded Moses. As who commanded Moses? The Lord. And he made the ephod of gold, blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen. And they did beat the gold into thin plates and cut it into wires to work it in the blue and in the purple and in the scarlet and in the fine linen with cunning work. They made shoulder pieces for it to couple it together. By the two edges was it coupled together. And the curious girdle of his ephod that was upon it was of the same according to the work thereof, of gold, blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twin linen, as the Lord commanded Moses. And they wrought onyx stones enclosed in anches of gold, graven as signets are graven, with the names of the children of Israel. And he put them on the shoulders of the ephod, that they should be stones for a memorial to the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses. So everything is as the Lord commanded Moses. As the Lord commanded Moses. Let me go to the last. Let's read from verse maybe 41 to 43. The clothes of service to do service in the holy place, and the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and his son's garment to minister in the priest's office, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. So the children of Israel made all the work. And Moses did look upon all the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded. Even so had they done it, and Moses blessed them. So, they did everything. And I told us that for us now, even though we don't wear uniforms, we don't have effort, we don't wear, you know, garments, but there's a kind of garment that God expects us to wear. A garment of, you know, a garment of praise, a garment of truth, a garment of righteousness, a garment of holiness. And of course, a garment that signifies that we are fruitful, that the Holy Spirit is inside of us. Because when you look at some of the things that were stipulated for those who are going to be deacons, bishops, basically it's an indication that they are manifesting the fruits of the Holy Spirit in their homes, before they can come to the church to manifest it. Praise the Lord. Now, our study focuses on making of the holy garments for the priest and the completion of the work of building the tabernacle. The tabernacle workers obeyed the instructions of their leaders and made befitting attire for the priest to do service just as the Lord commanded. The priesthood was a unique position, and it was necessary to provide attire that would befit the exalted office and also set forth the rich symbols of Christ's priesthood. We cannot overemphasize the fact that the tabernacle, its services, and priesthood foreshadow the Lord Jesus Christ and the various aspects of his work of redemption. Therefore, any study of the tabernacle, the priesthood, and the sacrifices must center on Christ, the antitype of these Old Testament shadows. So, we're going to mention two basic principles set forth in the priestly garment. There are some basic principles to be observed from making of the priestly garment. One, priestly garment reflected the spiritual standing of the priest. In the same manner, our dressing and outward appearance should reflect our spiritual calling. As children of God, we must not wear worldly dresses nor appear shabby. Two, the priestly garment were clothes to do service in the sanctuary. And like I told us, there are certain things required of us to do service in the sanctuary. Holiness, righteousness. Those are our priestly garments. Because first of all, it says, rend your hearts. Rend your word, your heart. We have to first of all rend our hearts. That is the kind of priesthood that God has called us into now. Where we actually rend our hearts and we are willing to give ourselves. That is the kind of priestly garment that God expects us to be wearing wherever we go. Those of us who are in the house fellowship last Tuesday, you will remember that one of the things, there were many things that were talked about concerning the things that should be happening in the house fellowship. I don't know what you treated in your house fellowship. But one of the things that I find out that I laid emphasis on where I thought is clamoring. It's clamoring. Because it says there should be no word clamoring. Factions. All those things that depicts worldly things, say it should not be found within us. As priests of the Most High. If you don't think you are a priest, go and look at Revelation chapter 1 verse 6. Go and look at Revelation chapter 5 verse 10. It basically tells you and I that we are the priests. God wanted to make as many priests as possible for himself, who will offer praise and sacrifice to him. So we learn from this that the robe of honor that God puts on those that are in leadership position is actually for service and not for display or exercising lordship over others. So it is for service, humility, selflessness, all those things. They are meant for service so we can be of service to God so we can worship him in a holy and an acceptable way. Three, we see that whoever God calls, he also clothes. God always furnishes his chosen servants with the materials needed for ministration. So in other words, it's not just the things that we see. God himself will also robe us with his presence, with his glory. And that is what will make things possible in our lives. And I'm telling you, when God calls you, sometimes it is not easy. Some of the things that God has called you and I to do, we may not find it easy. But because God will have clothed you with his own materials, God will have clothed you with his presence, God will have clothed you with his attributes, that is what will make it possible for you and I to do what God has called us to do. The last part, which we have very limited time for, is to look at the components of the priest's attire. Because I think I've been able to get across the main gist of what it's all about. And I think one of the good things about a priest wearing those garments in those days is that it helps him to identify himself as a priest. You know? And the responsibilities that goes with it. You see, when you wear the priestly robe, it will be difficult for you to just mingle with any kind of people. It helps to make you stand out. You and I, do we stand out? We love to mingle. We love to be like the man next door on the street, which is good. I'm not talking about one going around and say, look, I'm a Christian, therefore I'm better than everyone. I'm a Christian. No, that's not the kind of thing I'm saying. I'm talking about the knowing that comes from your relationship with God that makes you to want to do things differently or do things according to what God asks you to do. So God had a purpose for doing that. And that is why God also had the same purpose for instructing you and I to live in a certain way. For example, how will you feel if I call myself the pastor of the church and you go and you happen to be going to Fremantle and you met me there fighting somebody? How will you feel? Shouting, I'm fighting, and people are holding me, and I say, no, I have to punch him. No, I'm telling you. You are not going to like it. You will not want to identify me as the pastor of your church. I'm sure you just find a way and go away. Even if you don't, if you can't say anything to me, you just find a way and go. So, if we know that we wear a robe, you know, there's a saying from where we come from that the man who is wearing white, I can't remember the way they put it, the man who is wearing white, complete white, will know how to sort of position himself so that you don't get stained. We are like that. We are the light of the world. You know? So when you see some of this topic, the priestly garment, sometimes you'll be wondering what it's all about. That's what it's about. It's what distinguishes you and I. Maybe we should go back to wearing robes once again. So that when we wear the flowing gown and we're walking on the street, except that people misused it. They then use it for position, for, you know, for attention so that people can hold them in the high esteem without wanting the responsibility that goes with it. The responsibility that goes with it is not just when people see us. It's also when people don't see us. And that was the mistake. That was why Jesus had problems with them and told them, he said, you hypocrites. People see you in flowing gowns, but inside you are something different. And I pray that what people see is what God will see in Jesus' name. You know what I mean? In other words, when we are able to behave the same way, you know, the way we present ourselves before children of God, we present ourselves before God, you know, when nobody is looking. That is the best position to be. Let me quickly read this and we end. The dress of the priest fell into two categories. One, the service priest and those of the high priest. The garment of the service priest consisted of four parts. They were the breeches, coat, girdle, and bonnet. I know they signify some things which we can read. But the thing I can say here is that God made a distinction between the high priest and the service priest. Why? To whom much is given, much is what? Much is expected. So if you have been with the Lord, and the Lord has revealed his mind to you, you have heard the word of the Lord, you have been fed with the word of the Lord over the years, God is expecting what? He's expecting growth. He's expecting a higher level of example from you. Is expecting a higher level of dedication from you. Is expecting a higher level, you know, of love from you. Expecting a higher level of humility from you. Is expecting a higher level. So in other words, the more we know of him, the more God reveals himself to us, the more he expects of us. Otherwise, he would not have made the distinction. You know what I mean is this. If you see the baby prophet, in those days they used to have prophetic schools. You remember? Prophetic schools. They called them the sons of the prophet. You remember when Elisha was following Elijah to where he was going to be taken up? The Bible said when he came to the sons of the prophet, they asked him, do you know your master is going to be taken from you tonight? So in other words, there were baby prophets and there were what? Senior prophets. So if you see a baby prophet fighting, you can easily talk to a baby prophet, you know. If he's fighting on the streets, you say, okay, he's just growing. But by reason of the uniform, when you see the high priest wear his high priest robe and he's there changing blows, that temple that week, that day will be in a sorry state. They will have to make many sacrifices. What do we have to make? Repentance. And I'm telling you, it is better for us not to have fallen into that position than to be repenting. Because some of those who see us at that time may not see us repenting. And the last thing they carry with them is what they saw us do. But when we went into our closet to repent, they may not see. And God will have forgiven us, and they may never come back again. They may never have the opportunity for correction or to come back again. So, such is our calling. In short, we are talking about the priestly garment. We said it's one of the divine commissions that God gave to Moses. We also said that God has given us divine commission as well. And he expects us to wear priestly garments, not in form of uniforms, but in form of attitude, in form of holiness, in form of righteousness. To whom much has been given, much is expected. And that the closer we are to God, the more of himself he has revealed to us, the more he expects from us. And I pray this morning that God will give us that grace to make the mark in Jesus' name. Any questions? Contributions.